This is the Man in Line on location.
Hey, Faster Mike, good afternoon. We're live at Ballacameen High School in Douglas with years, I think we got 12 and 13, but we'll get to everybody and find out what it is exactly they want to talk about. And this is what you hear for the next hour. The views of Lama and Stella and Maya and Gabby and Guy's here and Daisy is here and Isaac as well. Daisy's got some very interesting news and Guy's got some great news that we'll be talking about. Anyway, all that between now and 1 o'clock on Man in Line at Ballacameen High School. So let's get to our students today. You are...
Hi, I'm Gabby.
And this is...
Hello, I'm Maya.
Hello, I'm Stella.
I'm Lama.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Daisy.
Hello, I'm Isaac.
Okay, let's get back to Daisy first of all, because Daisy, you're part of... It's called Valorous, is it?
Yeah.
Valorous, a group of students from Valor hoping to develop a straw that can detect a drink if it's been spiked. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell us more about it.
So, wait, what do you want to know exactly?
From the beginning, where did the idea come from?
So, in our group, there's six of us, and within, like, a 12-month period last year, two of us had already been spiked, like, at the age of, like, 14, 15. So, it was a topic that hit, like, close to home for our team in particular, and one of our, like, team members is, like, very good at, like, chemistry, and she had, like, an idea of how it would work, and she wanted to do something like that in the future, and she thought it would be a good concept to do for junior achievement.
Hang on. You were spiked at the age of 14?
15.
15. You weren't drinking lager or anything, were you?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, where were you?
I was at a house party.
I see. And somebody put... Do you know what they put in your drink?
No.
What was it supposed to do? What was the spiking supposed to do?
I don't know. It just, like, knocked me out, really. I was just...
Have you got any ideas who it was?
No.
Did anybody suspect who'd be doing something like that? Because that's a filthy trick.
Yeah. It was weird. It was like quite like a surreal experience, but...
Well, how did you feel when your drink got spiked?
Not really, like... You're just not really conscious of it. Like, you just feel like...
Woozy. Kind of,
yeah. Zoned out, really.
Yeah. And how long did it last?
The rest of the night.
And who took care of you? Your pals?
Yeah, my friends. And then my parents came and picked me up.
And what did your folks say about it all?
They were obviously, like, they were quite disappointed because, like, at first they thought, like, oh, she's just a teenage girl. She's just drank too much.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, the next morning when we realised.
Did you go to the police?
No.
So this idea came about within the group, the six of you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the principle behind this straw? What's going to happen?
So essentially, like, it's got a strip on the side of it, which tests for amines, which are compounds which are in common, like spiking drugs. So when you place the straw in the drink, the strip will change colour to indicate whether or not, like, it's present.
Right. Okay. And is it going to work?
Yeah.
Does it work?
Have you seen it work?
You've seen it work.
Yeah.
So what's the next? This is junior achievement, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? And so as part of junior achievement, what will happen now?
So coming up, we need to publish a business report. And then in March, there's like a trade stand where all the public can come in, speak to us, speak to all the other junior achievement teams. Then you present on the stage, you pitch your product, and then the panel of judges will choose which team they think has the best idea or is, like, the most innovative, and then you get to go to Riga and compete, like, on an European scale, I think it is.
Do you enjoy doing this?
Yeah. I think it's, like, it's interesting, and, like, it does give you, like, a lot of skills that will benefit you in, like, your career in the future, too.
Has anybody got an alcohol-sensitive straw on the market? Has anybody done this before?
So there's other things that exist. So you've got, like, obviously the drink covers that you can put over, like, your glasses, but it can be, like, kind of embarrassing and awkward in, like, some certain, like, situations. And then there's, like, a nail polish, too, that'll change colour, like, if you put it in your drink. But you've got to wash your hands. It's just, like, not really as hygienic. And we can't actually really find anywhere that you can buy that from.
Right. Well, that's fantastic news. Well, let us know how everything goes on.
Yeah.
All right, good to talk to you. Let's go to Guy now, because let's get this out of the way, because Guy's sitting there glowing with pride. You've had some fantastic news in the last hour, haven't you?
Yeah, about half an hour.
Tell everybody about it.
So I've got into the University of Cambridge. I've got an offer to study land economy, which is like law, geography and economics.
And which college do you think it is?
Clare College.
Clare College. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
How long have you been trying for that?
Well, I mean, we sent in the applications. I actually sent it on my birthday, 13th of October this year. But I mean, we've been thinking about that and different things for quite a long time.
Who? I mean, did you think I want to go to Cambridge?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose initially, sort of, you don't really think that it's possible. And I until like about 5 minutes ago, half an hour ago.
Anyone in your family been to Oxbridge at all?
No. But Mr. Karen as well, it helps, and he pushes you. He doesn't push you, but he's given us that opportunity to work towards that. Yeah. By just saying, look, we've had people do it in the past, and that's been really helpful.
Oh, so we can raise expectations.
Well, just in the sense of if you see people in the past have accomplished it, then you think, oh, maybe it's possible.
Okay, so what have you got to get?
So I've still got to get A-star AA. So the job's not finished fully yet, but hopefully if I should keep my head down and stay focused, and I should be able to.
Okay, so when would you be going?
So it'll be, I think, to starting in 2026, so this year, September probably.
September 2026. So, and when are the exams?
So exams are around about May and June, so it's in 5 to 6 months. So it's a busy time for everyone in year 13 at the moment.
And you're head boy as well?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
What does that involve?
So I guess as part of being a head boy, you're sort of helping out around the school, doing different bits and bobs and going to different events, and then helping out suggesting different ideas and things like that.
Good. Let's go to the head girl here. Gabby's here. And also, is that true? Gabby, you're a... you're not a head girl. No, sorry, you're a student governor.
Yeah.
A student governor, which means?
It basically means I just sit on the governing body, and it just allows students to actually have a voice in policy making and decision making. And
I hear you're the first student governor that there's ever been at Ballacombe.
I am.
So have you been to governor's meetings yet?
Yeah, so they're every 6 weeks that... the governors come in, and with their teacher, Mr. Corran, we all sit round and different things, different weeks.
How did they take to a student being amongst them?
I think from their feedback, they've said it's been so helpful because they've never had youth input or any sort of representation for the whole school.
And what sort of subjects, what sort of issues do you take to the governors' meeting?
It's just any sort of worries or concerns that...
Car parking, how about that?
Not our car parking yet, but just any sort of worries or things that students actually want changing
Do you drive a car?
I do.
How does anybody park here?
We have to park, so I park about 10 minutes away in there are disc zones around, but you have to go out every 2 hours, I think, and I just park my car about 10 minutes away, and that's it, done for the day. I leave it there. And
right. Maya's next to you as well. Maya, are you heading for university?
Yes, I am. I've got 4 out of my 5 offers back now, and I want to do international relations.
What does that mean?
It's basically, in the future I want to go into diplomacy, and it's basically just how countries link internationally and how alliances and stuff can help.
You'd like to join the diplomatic
other.
Service?
I would love to do that.
And there are different levels, aren't there? Consulate, ambassador and things like that.
I'd like to do and be an ambassador.
Would you?
Yeah, and if I could, obviously.
Where would you like to go?
I think
the Falklands or Washington DC.
I'm not too sure if I'd want to go to the USA at the moment.
Oh, right, okay. So how does that fit into your syllabus at Ballacombe?
So at the moment I take English literature, graphics and geography, and obviously geography is huge because it is like everything about the world basically, which is really important when it comes to international relations. And English literature it opens your eyes to issues that are going around in the world.
Anybody in your family been in the diplomatic service?
No, just lawyers.
So are you? So why has this come about? Why do you think?
Because for the longest time, I wanted to be a lawyer like my parents, but I realised that what I really loved about the law was kind of the speaking element, the bringing up issues and problems within the world rather than writing.
Right. Okay. Stella's next to you as well. Hi, Stella. Are you the head girl?
I am, yes.
You are? I do apologise for that.
Okay.
You've been head girl since what, September?
May this year was when we were elected.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, not this year, last year.
Okay.
Yeah, May.
Okay. And are you heading for university at all?
I am, yes.
Where are you going?
I've applied for LLB Law and I have gotten back 3 offers. One from the University of York, University of Kent and Queen Mary in London.
Fantastic. University of York, a.k.a. the Isle of Man, because so many people from the Isle of Man are at York.
That's true.
And what do you want to do? Again, law.
Law,
you
yeah.
want to? What do you want to be? A high-paid advocate on the Isle of Man?
I would love to be an advocate, yeah, and aiming high, possibly a judge later on down the line.
Okay. Why a judge?
I guess being between... Actually, I'm not too sure currently, but that's definitely what I'm heading towards, but
okay.
being an advocate first.
Okay. Any advocates in the family?
Sorry, I'm getting the terms confused with advocate, because obviously in the UK we have solicitors barristers, but my mum is a lawyer in Greece, and my granddad was also a lawyer, so down the line there's been a lot of lawyers.
Tell me, Stella, do you use social media?
I do use social media.
What are you on, Instagram, Facebook,
Pretty
X?
Much everything.
TikTok?
TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram.
What do you think about the social media ban in Australia? Under-16s can't use it.
That is something I've thought about. Looking at a ban, I don't particularly agree with it, because my question is, how productive would this ban be, and what is the goal set? Is it to monitor young people's screen times, looking at mental health? I don't understand how productive that would be just to ban it.
I think in Australia what they're talking, and what everybody's talking about, is to eliminate the downside. Because obviously there have been some people badly affected. Not many, but there have been relatively. There have been some people badly affected by the downside of social media.
I do understand that, and that covers cyberbullying. Definitely something I've recognised a pattern of on social media. Desensitisation to quite offensive and controversial comments. People really can hide behind a screen and... From one perspective, you are sharing your own opinion and, freedom of speech, but a lot of people have taken confidence in being quite horrible online and just hiding behind a screen and not really facing the consequences.
Yeah.
So I do understand that from the perspective of someone who's young and impressionable and it is online, but then again, I think... Back to banning it, we have to look at how the individual is using the platforms, because... With the downside, there's also the good sides, and I don't think we should neglect those.
Lama's next. Are you heading for university, Lama?
Yeah, I am, but I'm applying next year.
Okay, and do you know what you're going to do and where you're going?
I'm thinking of doing a pharmacology degree. I'm not sure what unis, but definitely pharmacy.
And what would you like? Where was that leading to? A career in pharmacology?
Yeah, like clinical pharmacy.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Are you on social media, Lama?
Yeah, I am.
Do you post or do you just look?
A bit of both,
okay.
I'd say.
Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay. Every week when you get that bulletin that's saying your screen time is, how much is it?
Oh, I tend to ignore that. I try to ignore it. I don't want to see how much I've been on social media, but mine's usually pretty low. I try to keep my phone away from me most of the time.
And what do you think about this social media ban? Do you think it would work, or is it advisable?
Again, just branching off of what Stella said, I think she made some really good points. I think that maybe we should put more restrictions on actual social media platforms instead of banning it completely, because there are definitely a lot of positives to having social media. I mean, their JA group promoted all of their products online and on social media. That's how I knew about it. That's how a lot of people know about stuff. So I think it is still important to have platforms up.
Okay. How do we eliminate the downside then?
Like I said, I think maybe just the kind of creators of social media spaces and stuff can put more restrictions on it.
Right.
Because now when you sign into Instagram or you want to log in and make an account, someone can easily lie about their date of birth. So I don't know how they would do it, but definitely putting more limitations on the apps would definitely make a difference.
Okay, Isaac's with us as well. Are you on social media, Isaac?
I am, but I don't post usually.
Yeah. What are you on? What do you look at? Instagram,
Instagram, X? No, I keep off Twitter and... Snapchat.
Yeah.
That's all.
What do you think about a ban for under 16 years?
I think your problem is enforcement. how are you going to enforce this ban? People just use VPNs to, you know, move off it, as they do in the UK. So what's the point of banning something if people can just work around it?
So how can the authorities or people in general, how do you get rid of the downside? Because there is a downside to social media. There's, as has been mentioned, the cyberbullying and what have you, body shaming, things like that.
I think it's about increasing awareness, and that's most important in the household. If parents teach their children to understand not everything they see online is true, not everything holds value, you should look at the sources of where these things are coming from to help understand it. That's going to give far more long-term gain than simply doing a blanket-wide ban on...
Right.
Yeah.
Do you use AI in your homework?
You should use it to assist yourself, but you shouldn't copy and paste it.
Okay. Well, particularly as the school's probably got a program that will detect anything that comes from AI.
Well, yeah, of course, and it should be like that.
Okay. AI is obviously the thing of the future as well. So, I mean, do you think AI is going to be all it's cracked up to be?
I think it's going to help people in top positions to get more. It's going to reduce HR costs. It's going to expand the economy. It will take jobs, but hopefully it will also bring them.
Okay. Are you going to be voting? Are you heading to university, by the way?
No, I plan to go to Warsash Maritime College.
Okay, with a view to what?
Well, I'd like to become a yacht captain one day.
Ocean-going yacht?
Yeah.
Big one?
Yes, hopefully.
Okay. A paid one, or are you going to own your own yacht?
Oh no, a paid position.
Okay. And where's that come from, then? Do you sail now?
No, not currently. Hopefully I go into the motor area.
Right.
But I just kept looking online, good employment opportunities, somewhere where I can learn to travel, see a lot of the world, and get paid for it, hopefully.
Okay, so I mentioned that. Will you be voting in the election in September?
I don't think so. I don't have enough confidence in parties. I've not educated myself enough. I'm focusing on my education.
Right, okay.
I don't have the time to find out a party I can trust to where my vote is useful.
Okay. Daisy, how old are you, Daisy? Sorry?
I'm 16.
So you'll be able to vote in September in the Manx general election.
Yeah.
How many? Do you know all about Manx politics? What do you know?
Well, I am a politics student, but we learn a lot more about, like, the UK politics. So I don't really know all of that much, like, on the Manx politics here, but...
Do you do anything in your political syllabus? Is there anything about the Isle of Man?
No.
Nothing at all.
But I voted in an election in April 2025.
Right, okay. Wow. Right, we're at Ballacameen, and we're going to be back in just a few moments' time with the opinions.
Open your heart to something genuine. Queen of Hearts offers carefully vetted and screened singles. No swiping, just meaningful matches. Ready for a fresh start? Head to queenofheartsiom.com or WhatsApp 223937 to get started.
Divorce doesn't have to mean a bitter battle in court. If you're both willing, an amicable divorce is possible. Mann Benham Advocates supports respectful separation, saving you time, cost, and unnecessary stress.
We can help you utilize non-court methods to agree on finances and efficiently formalize your financial consent order. We aim for a respectful new beginning. Start your amicable path. Call Mann Benham for your free confidential initial chat on 639 350.
No matter how much you need to dig, or how much you want to dump, Fox Group Isle of Man offer an extensive range of plant hire, long-term lease and sales. We're the island's exclusive supplier for Louis Gong excavators with immediate delivery. Our machinery comes with a complete service package with finance plan options. Call John on 458946 to discuss your plant needs. Fox Group Isle of Man, part of the Fox Group of companies.
Your favourite Thai flavours are almost back. Thai Thai at the Horse and Plough reopens on the 4th of February, bringing authentic dishes, fresh ingredients and a warm welcome in the heart of Braddon. Book now. Call 626060 to reserve your table.
Next month, the newly appointed Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas, will present the final budget of this administration just weeks after taking on the role. And what's announced will affect every one of us. So that's why Manx Radio is giving you the opportunity to put your questions directly to him as part of our Budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man. Join us live on Friday, the 20th of February from 5 p.m. at Lukey's at the Best Western Palace Hotel for an open audience discussion with the Minister, which will also be broadcast live on Manx Radio. Tickets are free but limited, so be sure to reserve your place now by visiting manxradio.com. Manx Radio's Budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man.
This is The Man in Line on Location.
It's 25 past 12 midday, live at Balcomine High School. And Lama, you wanted to pick up on what Isaac was talking about.
Yeah, just branching off of what they said about, you know, not knowing too much about the elections. Personally, myself, yeah, I don't really know too much about the elections that happen in the Isle of Man. I try and educate myself as much as possible, but I did want to address the level of understanding and knowledge within kind of like our community, and specifically the need to enhance political literacy and public awareness. And I think it extends beyond basic reading and writing skills. I think it involves the ability to kind of be educated and interpret information critically and engage thoughtfully with political and civic issues.
And how would you do that? Where would that come from? The home, school, or yourself?
So I did kind of try and come up with a couple of solutions to strengthen public awareness. I said that maybe we could have weekly civic explainer radio segments. I think that maybe if we had segments on the radio where people kind of, the coverage focuses primarily on reporting events and updates and kind of explaining how government processes work or why decisions happen. I think citizens will often hear about policy changes without context, which can lead to confusion, misinformation, and a lot of reactive debate. So I think that could be a good solution for
that. Okay, whereabouts do you live?
On the Alma.
In Douglas, yeah.
In Douglas, yeah.
In Douglas. Who's your MHK? Two MHKs.
Sarah Maltby and Claire.
Christian.
Yeah.
Claire Christian, yeah, as well. Okay. How many other Manx politicians do you know?
Not too many.
Name me. Stella, could you name some Manx politicians?
I can. Dr. Alex Allenson.
Okay.
I am familiar with him. I did my English language coursework on the assisted dying bill here on Ireland, the private members bill.
Okay,
yeah.
Which is, well, it's gone through, but it hasn't had royal assent yet.
Yeah.
In that, what did you have a view on the assisted dying bill at all?
In my coursework, I kind of had to give a nuanced perspective looking at both sides. But as far as my personal opinion, it's hard to express because it's such a complex situation. I think a person's dignity should definitely be prioritized, and we shouldn't create a system where we shouldn't create a system that leads to abuse and pressures, and subtle pressures.
Luckily, you've been in school for the past 2 years. We've talked about it endlessly on Man in Line about how to approach that as well. I want to go to, it's Gabby, isn't it? Do you have a job?
I don't have
you
a
don't,
job, no.
Don't, do you think to have a job, a part-time job, Saturday job at all?
To be honest, I'm so preoccupied with my A-levels, it's just taking all of my time up. And
are you on social media then?
I am on social media.
And how much time a day do you spend on social media, Gabby?
I'd hate to admit it.
Yeah.
probably a day, maybe two.
Is it getting are you on social media more than you used to be?
Definitely not more. I think that I'm really trying this year to actually be more productive with my time. You know, as Guy said, our A-levels are 4 or 5 months away, and
right,
you know, this is our one chance to get them done. And so social media is it's such a distraction.
It's addictive, isn't it?
It's addictive, yeah.
Doom scrolling and what have you there. So how old were you when you got a smartphone?
I just before I went to high school, so maybe 11, but I know now children are getting them far younger, and I think that is, you know, children have access to social media so much younger, which is making it a more probably dangerous tool.
I mean, parents should be able to put guards on it. They should be able to, they can do that, can't they? They can put restrictions,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I think with regards to this Australia under 16 social media ban, I don't think a ban is actually the right
way to go about it, but I think monitoring what happens, you know, I don't know if sole responsibility can be on the parents, where it can, like...
Trouble is, Gabby, there are certain things, if a young person sees something horrendous on, they can't unsee it.
No.
It will affect them, possibly for the rest of their lives. Oh, it could be any violence, definitely. Pornography, anything it like that.
It's detrimental.
It is. So who's responsible? Is that a government's responsibility? Is it the parents?
I don't think it's a blame can be placed on anyone. I think it's, you know, there's so many creators out there now that are constantly promoting things and sometimes not always positive. I think maybe if, I don't know how they do this, but maybe more, talking more positively on social media. I don't know if that could be.
Well, it'll be your problem for the rest of your life to sort out. Are you going to vote in September?
I would love to vote, but like a lot of people said, I'm not educated enough, and this is one of the points that I was like to speak about as well, because like Lama said as well, that voting for young people is, you know, we're encouraged to vote at the age of 16, but we don't actually know what we're voting for necessarily. Yeah. And
well, we figured out, I think we were talking before, the closing date for candidates is, let me see here, 26th of August is when candidate nomination period closes. Now, lots of students will be going away to university within 3 or 4 days after that.
Yeah.
You can have a postal vote, but you just won't know who to vote for.
No, yeah, exactly. And I just think that maybe a possibility, you know, as we've spoken about, I'm lucky enough to be student governor, and I have seen during that role that the power of having one student voiced in decision making and, you know, policy making, it's, you know, could that happen on a national level? You know, it's impacted school politics.
Whose idea was it, by the way, the student governor?
I think it was Mr. Corrin, the head teacher.
Right.
Yeah, that it was.
He's made a bit of a splash since he's been here, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done excellent job, personally, I think.
So, what, he came from him then, getting student representation on the governing body?
Yeah, I think the governors were very keen as well to get more representation.
Good. Well, this is a happy school, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Keep nodding, Maya. We were talking, it must be years and years ago when we first came here, and we find out that Mr. Karen, the head of sixth form, was buying period products for girls in the school.
Yeah.
And still to this day, without embarrassing him, I can tell everybody he still is as well. Now, the provision of sanitary products for the health of young women is a real issue, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think that it's such a widely experienced thing, and we still don't have the correct provisions to deal with it. I think that's an immense problem.
What provisions are there here at Bala? Is there a room?
There is a room, but it's not yet set up. It was kind of, because I'm a welfare prefect, and along with two of my friends, and we were supposed to kind of start up this room where the younger years come to if they needed any help, but it's not really kind of up and running yet. But we do have provisions in the sick form, and I know a lot of my teachers, I know that they've got boxes in their classrooms and stuff for their students.
How do you feel about Mr. Karen buying them? I mean, it's fantastic that he does.
Yeah, I think all credit to him, but I think it is... It's just sad, I think. I think it's really sad that it's not a really widely discussed issue, because it should be just the most natural, normal thing ever, and a conversation that it takes 2 minutes to talk about, and it's something that so many people experience that I think it needs to be brought up much more.
Stella?
Yeah, just to add on from what Maya said, periods should not be a taboo topic, neither should product accessibility. Periods can feel very draining and uncomfortable and painful, and it's important that every single individual that goes through menstruation is not additionally worrying about having period products at school or accessing period products in the case of an emergency. I think especially within a school environment, it's very important to foster a safe and and comfortable environment where there's no worries.
Would it be different if men had periods?
I think so. I think the level of priority and the concern would have been different. I mean, if you look at toilet paper and soap that's provided for free in public restrooms, that's provided as an essential product.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and I think many people can agree, that period products should also be an essential product. Women don't choose to go through periods. It's a painful, frustrating and embarrassing thing for them. And I think that, yeah, they shouldn't have to pay and worry about that.
Well, it's a subject that we've talked about, and we always talk about it at Ballacameen because of the situation that there is, but it just seems that society can't get its head around it.
Yes.
So, weird, isn't it? Right. Let's go to... Oh, it was Guy. I wanted to talk to Guy. Local economy training. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess so. That's sort of what I was talking about before. So I think it'd be a good idea on the Isle of Man, right? Got a lot of young people like us, and we're all now looking. We'll go to university. And obviously, you can go to UCM, but there's not a lot of people that go and do that. And a lot of people will go to the UK. And then they'll go to the UK, they'll get their jobs in the UK, they'll meet partners in the UK, and they'll stay there, perhaps indefinitely, or they may well come back. So what if there was something on the Isle of Man? I think it'd be really good if there was a government push, maybe, for there to be some sort of education facilities here. If we specialised in something like international business, for example, look at all the firms we've got here, or e-gaming, and a university for that was set up somewhere on the Isle of Man.
So there should be an institution, something set up?
Well, I think that putting plans in for that, it would be a great idea in sort of pushing towards that, because that obviously would then boost the, not only young people who are going to stay here to go and do that, and people who are going to come over for that, that would then create the demand for other things to be created that would attract us to the great opportunities that we have here, which really are good.
It's always been an issue that lots of students will leave the Isle of Man, go to university in the UK, and a proportion never set foot back on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, quite a lot. I think it's probably quite a lot of people won't come back, and I think it's because when you're younger, it feels like to me, and I'm sure most of us here, that there's not a lot, I wouldn't say there's not a lot to do, but there's not a lot of things attracting young people to stay here. There's great jobs in accountancy firms, stockbrokers, it's a great opportunities compared to what you get in places like London and elsewhere. But if we had something to boost the sort of demand of things for young people here, I think it'd be a really great thing.
Okay, well, Cambridge is a fantastic city, so you've got to enjoy that. Gabby's back here. You want to talk about the economy, didn't you?
Yeah. Just like Guy said, I think that, you know, university is great for some young people that want to go into academia and are passionate about that, but for young people that don't fit into that route and that's not for them, I feel like they often feel like there's not the pathways on the Isle of Man are often limited, and like I know that places like Zurich, and Guy was talking about accountancy firms, they do offer like internships in the summer, but I imagine that you know they're 6 weeks long, quite short, I assume competitive. I don't think they lead to any clear progression of employment, and I think that could worry some people, you know, people coming out of A-levels, out of GCSEs, who, you know, I don't think businesses now would take on someone with no experience because they have to train them up. Whereas I know they used to, like I know example for my parents, and when they went to work, they could just go into a job at 16 years old,
yeah.
And they could just, but now that's not a possibility. So young people are leaving the island to gain those skills that aren't able to be equipped over here.
You see, we're chatting now to seven people who are, you know, heading towards university, apart from Isaac on the yacht and what have you. But for lots of young people, academia is not for them.
No.
University just isn't for them. They need to get a job.
You know, and I think people that don't fit into that university route can often feel a bit like, oh, what am I doing? Like, what is there for me to do?
And that may be they then just leave the island and go somewhere else.
And then when they want to, or when they think they've got them skills in the UK, there's no clear route for them to come back or know where in the economy they actually fit in. So is there sort of like a gap in the economy that, you know, maybe more businesses or more companies can actually make it more accessible for leavers to actually access these opportunities.
So a local economy training thing.
Yeah.
thing, whatever it is, as well. What's your opinion on that, Isaac? local economy?
I'm all for boosting a local, having children who might not make it into sixth form, yeah. giving them more options. I think all education is good education, especially if it's on island education, because as I said, it will boost, you know, the amount of tax people pay. It will help. There's no loser in education. Everybody wins.
Good. Okay. I was going to ask you about the yacht. Have you seen any yacht that you'd like to captain, by the way? What size of a yacht are we looking at?
You start lower down, right. And then you work up.
It's fascinating, sitting in the middle of Douglas talking about this.
Well, we've got a massive maritime industry in on Ireland, and that will definitely help me in my path. But I'd like to start at about... there are two paths you can take. You can start by captaining a smaller yacht, or you start as a lower down on a bigger yacht, and then you work your way up, you gain trust. As in any industry, you have to prove your worth before you can captain.
What sort of academic qualifications do you need?
So at the moment it's about BCC to get into Warsash.
Is that, by the way?
It's in Southampton. It's connected to Solent, but it's one of the top maritime colleges in the industry worldwide. So
good. Daisy, did we talk about university with you? Have you got any ideas for university at all?
Very similar to Maya, I'd like to go into international relations and diplomacy, or like some kind of political science, maybe PPA. I'm not like really sure.
PPA is politics,
philosophy and economics.
That's it.
Because I think politics is very, very important. And like, just to touch back like on the social media ban, I think it's very common for teenagers to get all of their political knowledge from social media. But a lot of the time, if you're interacting with, say, like radical left-wing like content, your whole like... The algorithm is going to take that and like assume that that's what you're interested in.
Well, you get caught up in this algorithmic loop, don't you?
Yeah, and then you're going to see that and you're going to assume that everyone on social media is agreeing with your opinion.
So where do you get your news from?
Social media and like BBC News.
Right. Ever buy a newspaper?
No.
Read a newspaper?
No.
Would you ever consider becoming an MHK, Daisy?
Potentially. I mean, whether or not I'd want to stay on the Isle of Man is like... I think that's something I'd want to think about further down the line.
See, somebody's got to be an MHK.
Yeah.
There are only 24 vacancies, so somebody's got to be the MHK.
Yeah.
So do you know politicians? Have you met politicians at all?
Not as much over here, really.
Do any politicians ever come to Ballacameen?
No. Or not that I
have they been?
Know of.
Yeah, Gaia? Sure.
We had one last year, obviously, you weren't here. We had, I think, Sarah Maltby came.
Right.
She came round. Obviously, I thought that was really good from my perspective. It was good to hear what people were doing. But obviously, Daisy wasn't here last year for that. But yeah, we did have that.
Okay. Would you ever become an MHK guy?
I mean, I could see it'd be cool. I know the salary's quite nice, and it'd be quite cool to...
It's not about the money, guys.
Oh, sorry. No, but as well, you could have an impact on the local community. Of course, that's very important and key. Obviously, there's a lot of stress that comes with that in terms of, you know, we're talking about social media a lot. I think they get a lot of things on social media. Sarah Maltby, when she came in, was speaking about getting quite a lot of hate things online and stuff. So that's something you've got to consider and deal with. I mean, I'm currently watching a TV program with politics in on Netflix about diplomacy, and that's making me, you know, it looks very glamorous, looks very cool. So that could be something I'd be interested in.
Okay, right, we're back in just a few moments' time at Ballacameen.
A big thank you to your workmen. They've done a very good job. My property looks like new again. Thank you, EPS.
We're delighted with the house. Your employees obviously take great pride in their work.
The work was done promptly, professionally, and considerately.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with the revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Call 627-191 and book now for spring and get 10% off.
A good job. Well done.
Stock arriving weekly at Ramsey Garden Centre. Discover potted spring bulbs, summer bulbs, seed potatoes, onion and garlic sets, wildflower seeds, sweet pea, microgreens, plantable biodegradable pots and propagation essentials. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
pain, neck pain, scoliosis, headaches, joint pain. At Align for Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 16 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're open after work and Saturdays, making it even easier to see us. Visit alignforlife.com or find us on Facebook for more information. Align for Life, 16 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
As the weekend fades and the night draws in, slow it down with the Chill Out Show.
The Sunday Chill Out, Chris Pearson, Manx Radio.
The Manx Radio Chill Out Show, Sunday evenings from 7.
This is the Man in Line on location.
Faster by, good afternoon. It's a 1:45. We're live at Ballycommune High School. Lammy, you wanted to pop in?
Yeah, just branching again off of what Daisy and Guy had said. I think that there are a lot of people get their information, especially about politics, from social media. I think it's really unavoidable. But obviously, I personally am like an advocate for like obviously getting your political ideas and like ideologies from like maybe books or research. But because people get their information from social media, I think that there can be a lot of gaps in political understanding, and I think it's very like increasingly visible in public discussion. For example, like on Isle of Man Facebook page, I think that there's a lot of debates on topics like immigration, housing, or like economic issues, which can trigger a lot of immediate hostility and like generalizations, frequently without reference to evidence or data. And I think it's really important for people to kind of like do their own research, which again just brings me back to my main point about the public, the general public of the Isle of Man, being more aware and educated.
But I mean, politics and discussion is all about nuance, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a yes or no answer. So
definitely,
you get the nuance from getting the context. Mm-hmm. So how do you know what you're reading is correct?
See, that's what's great about it, is that if you picked up any book on political science or about politics in general, you read that book and immediately you have feelings for yourself. You can make your own decision after you read that book or after you do that research on your own. Whereas if you're consuming like short form content, as Daisy said, where there's like a lot of like leftist ideologies and whatnot, I think that can be definitely damaging, because you kind of just go along with whatever anyone's saying online. Whereas we are people, we have our own ideas, and it's completely okay for people to hold opinions, because without tools to like analyze information and assess sources, discussion kind of becomes, as I said, more reactive rather than reasoned. And I think it's important for people to.
Okay. Did you have political lessons in school here? What's the syllabus?
We do have PSHE. I think a little issue that I have with that, I think maybe we could be incorporating more like world issues that are going on day to day.
PSHE is?
Physical,
social, health.
Something like that, yeah. Education, yeah.
Right, okay.
So usually in PSHE, we will talk about things like sleep schedules, because, you know, we're doing A-levels, so yeah. It's, like, important to keep up with. I think it's more important if we discussed political issues that are going on in the world right now. It makes people more aware, and when people are more aware, that's definitely...
What do you think the biggest political issue is in the world?
America.
Well, America, you mean Donald Trump?
Everything.
Yeah.
The world is, you know, I said this last week. I said it's like one big, Sudan, Palestine. But I said this last week. I said that the world is like one big crock pot of just awfulness. And there's a lot of things that just...
I'm so glad you cleaned that up. Guy?
Yeah, I'd say that I think that the social media, we're addressing a lot of problems with social media. And I think that another problem with the algorithm side of it and things like this is you can see a lot, it's mostly negative stuff, because that's the stuff that gets the news. So you hear about America, you hear about Palestine and the wars and all the sort of awful stuff that's happening in different areas and different things that are happening. And I think that perhaps from, I know when I'm looking at it, I think the world's gone when you're going on Instagram, whatever.
It was always the same guy. I mean, bad news used to sell newspapers.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's of course how I guess the nature of it sort of works. But I think we need to remind people, perhaps with using social media positively, to remember that there's good sides to the world as well. Because I know for me, you can get quite down on it.
What's land economy?
So I mean, they're actually changing the name next year to economics, law, and environment. So it's kind of relating social and economic problems to the natural and built environments, if that makes sense. So like law, geography, and economics combination.
Right. Okay. And for the layperson, that means what?
So
on a granular level,
yeah. So looking at it, it is a combination of just multiple subjects. So like I said, law, geography, economics, finance, urban planning, and real estate. You sort of specialize within that. It's really broad. It's hard to say. I'm trying to think of one thing.
Where would you get a job when you've got a degree?
I think I'd look again into property and property development, perhaps, and investment in that sense, and maybe also to that degree, looking at from another side of it, is looking at solving some social issues through using the land and that side of it, and using property.
The Isle of Man's got a big problem for young people, well, for a lot of people, in that private rentals are horrendously expensive.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm writing an EPQ at the minute on the youth housing crisis
in
Britain.
An EPQ is?
So it's an extended project qualification. So it's half an A-level. So I'm just finishing that up now, and the problems that have been caused and the impacts it's having. Obviously, we don't see it necessarily as to the extent of youth homelessness in the Isle of Man as much, but in the UK that's very prominent, and it's an issue that needs to be solved.
But there is sofa surfing that goes on the Isle of Man, isn't
it? And a lot of insecurity and worry and stress that's not really needed. So I think that we can look at, you know, if you look at the amount of social housing that's in the UK, I don't necessarily know about the Isle of Man, the amount of social housing that's in the UK now compared to what it was in 1970s, 1960s, it's changed a lot, and then it's had big impacts on the market and more private renters since.
I can tell you how much social housing's been built in the last 5 years. Nil.
Yeah, not a lot at all.
So we've got an issue on the Isle of Man. And as you say, it causes stress, it causes problems.
Of course, definitely, 100%. And it leads to uncertainty again about people coming back to the Isle of Man. Why would I come back to the Isle of Man if I've got nowhere to live? I suppose another thing. Perhaps the Isle of Man could offer a different perspective, in the sense of if we had secure housing, it would attract people further towards us.
Okay. Isaac, what's your opinion on that, on housing?
Housing, it's such a big issue in the Isle of Man especially, because so many jobs are concentrated in Douglas, and we've got these green belts going around, which is an important matter environmentally, but people need houses to live in. And when you've got social houses full to the brim, the waiting list for the first time buyers is years. As soon as I turned 18, my mother said, let's get you on that list so you can one day afford a house. Because it's such a big issue, and we're not allowing people to develop and build these properties. And when we do let them develop, they aren't building the properties we want. They're building high-end or low-cost houses.
Right, okay. And there's an issue for many people, as I mentioned, that rents are very, very high, and people, when they're paying rent, can't afford to save to buy a house.
Yeah, it's a big problem, but not one with an obvious solution, I think we all understand. I think we should limit the amount of offshore renters on Ireland. That would be my solution to
that. What's an offshore renter?
Well, no, people who own houses but live abroad.
Oh, I see.
And we should limit, you know, mass ownership in investment banks, you know, people who buy up mass amounts of land and rent it out.
Right, okay. I was going to talk about you mentioned the social media ban, didn't you?
I did.
What was your thought on that again?
It's impossible to enforce. People will just download VPNs. It takes 2 minutes.
So is the onus then on the creators or the tech companies? Now, the tech companies are the people who make tens of millions of dollars a day. I mean, surely the world authorities can do something about Meta, about X, Elon Musk, and what have you?
You can bill them, but they'll just keep paying because of the amount of profit it makes. I think that's sort of a solution. You just bill, you fine them for individual pieces, but then again, that takes government time and money. It's not always profitable.
So what about the young people who are harmed by the bad side of social media?
It should be parents' responsibility. It's a parent's responsibility to shield their child from the world, the same way children can find 18 plus movies on the TV. You don't make them take a picture of their ID to view it.
So parents.
Your parents are what stop you from going on, you know, dodgy channels on your TV network. It's things like that. It's unfair on regular people to make them put in their ID to access social media or access content online.
Okay. I was going to go to Gabby, you wanted to say something. I can't remember what it was. What were you going to say? It was about political representation, wasn't it?
Yeah, just touching again on that. You know, I feel like when young people are given a voice, they rise to it. They, you know, and could what's been replicated with the governor role, could that be brought to a national level, and could the government maybe offer, you know, because I'd say all of us here would be willing to vote if we were, you know, educated enough. Could it be in the PSHE curriculum? Could it be something that's just, you know, just a suggestion, like a youth parliament or something like that, just to, or yeah, to raise awareness about Manx politics, because a lot of us are going to go to university and we won't, probably won't vote.
Yeah. But and also, when you go to university and your fellow students across, say, oh, the Isle of Man has got its own parliament, what does it do?
And you, yeah, and a lot of us don't actually really know what happens.
Right. Who's the chief minister?
Alf Cannon.
Good. That's Maya, who's the treasury minister?
Don't do that to me.
Can you name any Manx politicians?
I know some of the MHKs. I know some of the MLCs.
Right. What are their names?
Anne Corlett. She's my neighbour.
Oh, right.
Chris Thomas.
Well, they're the central Douglas MHKs for around here.
Ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I did work experience with Tanya August Hansen, who's an MLC.
In Tynwald?
Yeah. No, what? I did it in... where the, oh, what's it called? Just above where the MHK is, their like little hub is. Just above them is the MLCs.
And when you say there. Little hub, you mean Tynwald, the wedding cake building.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one, isn't it? Yeah.
The rooms are like.
And what are you looking to as a career again? What was it?
Diplomacy.
Diplomacy. That was it.
Yeah.
Good. What do you think of Donald Trump? Please don't.
Lots of opinion.
Please don't swear, please. He is the most powerful person in the world.
He is.
And a lot of Americans voted for him.
A lot of Americans did do that. And I think that is not the way it should have gone. But I think you kind of do have to be vigilant at the fact that I live on the Isle of Man. I live in a tiny little island in the middle of the British Isles. I don't actually live in the middle of what's going on in America. So there could be 100 reasons why they actually picked Trump, and I will never know.
Stella.
Now, I don't know a lot about the American politics, but I will say in response to why Donald Trump was picked, I would say there are a large amount of Trump followers, or I think they're called MAGA. Yeah, don't know if that's more of a slang term. I think just following briefly during the election time, late 2024, I think Democrats and Kamala, the promotion and the marketing was targeted towards young people who aren't eligible to vote. There was lots, and I still see lots of accounts and content from Democrats and Republicans. They have profiles on TikTok.
Right.
And during that, like, prior election time, there was a lot of blue, like, side marketing for young people who couldn't vote.
Right.
Whereas Donald Trump kind of had, you know, bringing back from his first term in 2016, he still had a great amount of following and favorship.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being with us today. Today we've been with Gabby and Maya and Stella. Lama's been here, and Guy and Daisy. Thanks to Isaac. Thanks to Matty and Lauren and Howard for doing all the technicals here. Today we've been live at Ballacameen High School.